Listen to me carefully. One of the primary reasons for adversity in our life is that God wants to bring us into the experience of identification with Christ.
God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Although it's familiar, do you know what that scripture means? The answer to that question involves more than being faithful in Bible reading and consistent in prayer. While those activities contribute to spiritual development, Charles Stanley explains that if our motivations are self-centered, our spiritual growth can still be hampered. Today on In Touch, you'll learn that God often sends hardship and suffering into our lives to strip away our independence and to teach us the true meaning of what it means to be like Christ. Can you echo those words of the Apostle Paul? I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Could the adversity in your life be God's attempt to deal with your self-will? Dr. Stanley addresses that question now as he continues his instruction on advancing through adversity.
If I should ask you today, is your life Christ-centered or is it self-centered? More than likely, you'd say, well, and this would be your criteria. I go to church, I read my Bible, I give to God, I pray, I talk to other people about Jesus Christ. Yes, my life is Christ-centered. My friend, did you know that you can do all those things and be absolutely and totally controlled by S-E-L-F? You can read your Bible because you're afraid. You can pray because you have needs. You can share your faith out of pride. You can go to church out of habit. You can do all the things that most people would use as a criteria to decide whether they're spiritual or not. You can do every one of those things for the wrong motive. And if you're doing them from the wrong motive, it isn't Christ Jesus who's at the center of your life. It is self. Self at the center of our life. Because old self is on the throne, and publicly and outwardly, man, it looks impressive. On the inside, it stinks. Because it is flesh. It is self dominating and controlling the life. So what must God do? God must get our attention about ourselves. So what does He do? One of the things He will do is to send or allow, and sometimes He sends adversity into our life. So what is His big purpose? His big purpose is bigger than my salvation. Listen, His big purpose is growing us up into the likeness of Jesus Christ, the glorified, the living God. And every single one of us who has a genuine hunger in our heart for God, we really want what God wants for our lives. We want to be what God wants us to be. We want Him to keep on working in our life to fashion us and conform us, to build character into our life that will glorify the Lord God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us an answer to that. We don't particularly like it. We'd like to avoid it at all costs. But you recall what Paul said, look if you will, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We've been reading here in 2 Corinthians about what he learned about his weaknesses and God's grace and how strong he was in his weaknesses. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What is Paul referring to? Paul is referring to the purpose, one of the primary purposes, and I want to just deal with one of them. One of the primary purposes for adversity in our life. What is it? Listen to me carefully. One of the primary reasons for adversity in our life is that God wants to bring us into the experience of identification with Christ. That's one of His purposes for sending adversity. That is, watch this, He wants to deal with the self. Listen, not the S-I-N-S, which we can confess. He wants to deal with the S-E-L-F, not the S-I-N-S. S-I-N-S are dealt with by confession. S-E-L-F is dealt with by what? Crucifixion. S-E-L-F cannot be dealt with by confession. S-I-N-S, confession. S-E-L-F, crucifixion. That's why Paul said. He said when Jesus Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago, he said, God the Father identified me in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He says when he died, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, died. When he was buried, Paul says, I was buried. When he arose, he says, he raised me up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Listen, not having patched up old Saul of Tarsus, not having added some new characteristics to him, not having beautified him or made him pretty, but rather having destroyed him, killed him, crucified him, and what? Now it is Saul of Tarsus, he says, but not I, not the old one. He says, but now it is Christ Jesus living within me. What does Paul say in Colossians 3? He says, Christ who is our life, when he shall appear, we shall appear with him. When you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says, we were identified in the crucifixion of Christ. Identified in him, something he did for us 2,000 years ago that became a living reality within us. And positionally, we became crucified with him, buried with him, resurrected with him. When you talk about dying to self, that doesn't mean that you die to your consciousness, but that means to die to your old self, who you were before you were saved. Who you were before you were saved, once you were saved, you can't ever be that anymore. You can't ever be who you were because you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It isn't something you patched up. It isn't something you improved. God the Father made you a new creation in Christ Jesus so that when you confessed your faith in the atoning sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, something happened in your life that transformed you into a new person, and now Jesus Christ has become your life. He says you were crucified when he was crucified, buried when he was buried, raised when he was raised, and now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But old S-E-L-F is still around. And so, even though now that we're saved, we can deal with S-I-N-S, how do you deal with S-E-L-L? Now, here's what happened at the cross. At the cross, positionally, I'm going to explain that in a moment. Positionally, here's what happened at the cross. When he died, he says, positionally, we died. But experientially, what happens? If by experience, I do not accept by faith that when he died, my old self died, and now I'm free to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and all of his power and all of his blessing, all of his goodness. If I don't understand that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a disastrous thing in my life. I'm going to begin my new Christian life with this old dead body attached to me. Now think about this for a moment. He says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He says, God crucified what you were, buried it, and here you are walking in newness of life. But if you don't understand that, and if you don't accept by faith that you're a new person in Christ Jesus, and the old self was crucified, that you don't have to yield to sin any longer, what will happen? You just keep on doing the same old thing. If you only see yourself as a new person, but the old nature still hanging in there, you keep dragging that stinking thing around. Self. S-E-L-F. Who's on the throne of your life? Who's really making the decisions? Under the guise of all this spirituality, who's making the decisions in your life? Are you making them on the basis of the purpose of God, the plan of God, the will of God, God's overall purpose for your life? Is that what's governing your decisions? Or your decisions governed by what pleases you, what satisfies you, what comforts you? What gives you the greatest sense of security? Or are you asking, Lord God of the universe, Lord God Almighty, sovereign God of this universe, my Lord and my Savior, live your life in me and through me today. The only way he can do that is for S-E-L-F to be dealt with. And the only place S-E-L-F can be dealt with is at the cross to kill it. And to accept that crucifixion by faith and to walk in the spirit of a brand new life who is Christ. Now, let's face it. The last thing in the world we want to do is that. No human being has ever desired to be crucified on a real cross. Neither has any believer desired to go to the cross because that means death. That means I've got to give up my rights. That means I'm willing not just to tell Jesus Christ he's Lord, but that means he becomes master, governor, Lord, king. He's everything. And it's one thing to talk that. It's something else for it to be a living reality in our heart. Who wants to get desperate? Nobody. You say, well, can you come to the cross without all this adversity? Hallelujah, you can. But the problem is, not many of us do. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because old self has such a rooted place in our life, even though we've been saved by the grace of God, and not having understood what our position is, and not taking advantage of it by faith, old self still has a rooted position. He's after the experience of crucifying your old self, and he's going to send adversity to get it done. Now listen. You see, now God's a loving God, and he understands when we don't understand these things. He fully understands that. So what does he do? The adversity, heartache, loss, suffering, pain that God sends into your life may be in order to bring you to begin to deal with yourself on a level that you probably never even thought about. He's looking for saints. He's building character deep down inside. He wants self-crucified in experience so that Jesus Christ, who is your life living within you, can express that beautiful life freely. So that people around you will see Jesus and not you. So what does he do? He just keeps turning the pressure. He keeps sending the adversity until we're willing to begin to look within ourselves. God, my friend, has predestined, predetermined. He says he has chosen us in him to be blameless, holy before him. And what happens? He sends adversity into our life to do what? To force us as an act of love, to force us to the cross, to force us to the experience of crucifixion, whereby we say, oh, wretched man that I am, free me from this body of death, which is old self. Friend, that's love. That's what that is. The cross is an expression of God's love. And one of the reasons he sends adversity is to drive us to the cross, that self would no longer control and dominate our lives, but we'd be freed. You say, well, is that once in a lifetime? No. In eternity past, he did it once. But if I'm willing to choose again, it's an act of my will for self to dominate my life, I may have to go back in that experience of the cross again and again and again, and most of us have been there many times. What's God's purpose? Just to keep me out of hell? That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is holiness, blameless before him, magnifying himself, glorifying God. And so what must he do? Listen. You and I can deal with S-I-N-S. We can confess those, and if we confess those, He takes care of that. But what about S-E-L-F? Only God can deal with that. And he deals with that stretched out on the cross. My friend, if you and I were to take an inventory, we might be surprised at how much of self absolutely dominates and controls our life. Did you know that most people, the truth of it is, if we examined ourselves, that far too many, that everything in life centers around the big I. From the time we awaken in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, it's the big I. God doesn't want to improve that. He wants to kill it. That's what God wants to do. How does he do that? This is the way God takes care of self. God takes care of self at the cross. Now listen to me carefully. My friend, when God begins to work in your life and to deal with old S-E-L-F, which, listen, positionally he dealt with 2,000 years ago, but experientially, the cross, listen, death is the only way. That's the only way. As long as you hold on tight-fisted to your will and your way, and you're going to be in control, and you're going to have it your way and do your thing, I want to tell you, you're going to live with self, and you will never be able to enjoy the blessings of God, nor will you ever grow in the Lord as God wants you to go. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, no longer my will, but thy will. I take the cross. I give up my rights. My will, my way, my dreams, God will give you back what fits into his big purpose. But until you're willing to come to that place, you're going to struggle through life, overcome. And you see, you only get one trip through this world. You're only going to have one lifetime to glorify the living God. Only one lifetime to magnify Jesus Christ. Only one lifetime that your countenance will reveal Him. He brings us to the cross out of an expression of love because He knows the only way to deal with... Listen, you know what that says? What we were before we were saved is so rotten, was so horrible, was so vile in the heart of God. He has to kill it. He can't improve it. A self-improvement program that lots of them around today, and I understand what they mean by that. The truth is you can't improve your old self. It has to be killed, crucified, and buried. And you see, all of us have Christ's life living within us. You can't improve His life. All you have to do is just let it flow. Doesn't mean you're passive. You'll be busy, but your life won't mark time. Your life will be an investment. Your life will be filled with fruitful, progressive things. Things that make a difference in the lives of people. That fit into God's big, supernatural plan in this world. But here's what happens. If I'm unwilling to deal with sin, I will come right close to the cross, but I back off. If I just say, I don't believe that's what God teaches, I just back off. If I'm holding on to something that God says must let go, I back off. My friend, when you come to the cross, listen, when you nail a man to the cross, his hands, his feet, he's helpless. Every little move is an awesome, painful experience. He does everything in His power on that cross to keep from budging. Every twinge of a muscle, does everything in His body aches and racks with pain. A man who's crucified is helpless to help himself. Did you know that's where God wants every one of us? Here's our problem. God wants to strip out of us that streak of independence that finally, ultimately, we're willing to give God most of it. But we're going to keep one little bit for ourselves. God wants to strip us of independence and bring us to death. Whereby we say, Lord Jesus, God, I mean all of it, not my will, but Thy will be done. But let me say one simple thing. The degree to which you and I suffer, the degree to which we feel the pain of adversity, the length of time with which we feel it, and the length of time which it goes on in our life is not dependent upon God, but upon our response to it. If you just decide that there's somewhere you draw a line, you willing to be saved, willing to give, willing to pray, willing to read your Bible, willing to go to church, willing to serve the Lord, but give up your right to yourself and allow Jesus Christ to call the plays in your life, no. Not one of that. And you draw the line. Here's what God does. He just says, okay. He knows when you've crossed the line of resistance. I don't mean you're going to be lost. But what happens is you may be saved, my friend, but shelved. Shelved. Because you're not willing to go to the cross. If God the Son had not been willing to go to the cross, all of us would still be lost. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how many people and whose life God will never be able to bring to His great purpose if you are not willing to go to the cross? You don't really know that because you not only know how many people our life could influence. But I can tell you this. If He had not gone, we would all be the losers. And if you're not willing for Jesus Christ to deal with S-E-L-F in your life, I can tell you this, that everybody close around you is already a loser. And everybody that you'll ever meet in whose life God intended your life to bear a witness, they too will be the loser. I think of how many families are losing because Dad is going to have his way. Because Mother is insistent on her rights. Because the son or the daughter isn't about to give up his or her freedom. My friend, there's only one way to deal with S-E-L-F, and that's the cross. It just might be that the adversity you're experiencing today is God's loving hand to bring you to the end of yourself. That is to become so sick with what you were that you are still holding on to, that you willing to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, God, deliver me from this." And when you're free, there is no limit to what our loving Father can do in your life. Are you willing to go there? It's simply by faith. "Lord Jesus, I accept what you said in the Scriptures true. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ Jesus, now you live within me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not my life, but your life. From this moment on, not my life, but your life. Not my will, but your will. I give up all of my rights. It's your life from this moment on." Now, you may have to do that many times in your life before you die, but there is an initial time. And I want to ask you, are you sick enough of what you were to let God bury that in experience? Father, thank you for loving us. Would you speak to that someone who's saved, dominated by self, knowing that something is wrong, has confessed over and over and over again, but with no victory? Would you help them to see it isn't confession, but crucifixion by faith? The giving up, the surrender of all rights that brings the greatest victory and the greatest blessing is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
God always seeks to achieve a purpose in your life through adversity. And though your situation may be intensely